The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The reading tonight is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A few years ago in Virginia, I'm sure we all recall that terrible day when a deranged young man went on a shooting spree, and before he was finished, he shot and killed 32 students, some faculty members at Virginia Tech. Before he committed suicide, before he shot himself, he called the media. He wanted them to know that he was innocent. And he blamed it on the oppression of the world, the oppression of society. And that's what he was doing. He was taking it out on them. So he looked upon himself as an innocent guy. It took 32 innocent lives. So I'm sure that kind of fits in with what we hear in today's gospel and the readings. We saw in the fall of our first parents, no one wanted to take responsibility for what happened. When the Lord approached Adam over why he had disobeyed him, he didn't take responsibility. He blamed his wife, Eve. When the Lord confronted Eve, she didn't take responsibility either. He pointed to the serpent, the evil one. So that's been part of our life too. I'm sure we all remember as children. Sometimes we did things wrong, and if we had brothers or sisters, and we did it, sometimes we would take the blame. We point over to our brother or sister and try to get off the hook. And we see that has ventured its way into society with this terrible depression we've been in now for the last 10 years. No one seemed to want to take responsibility for it. I think everybody wants to blame the oil companies, they want to blame the bankers, the mortgage lenders. They blame the government, the president, our elected officers. Everybody blames someone else. But I'm sure if we look deep into it, every human being, everybody who had a job, who had a bank account, they really blame themselves. They like to live pretty high, walk big cars, didn't worry about where the gas was coming from, walk toys, things to play with, big homes, got big mortgages, thinking that somebody else is going to be responsible for this, not me. And then it came crashing down, you know. Boy, when the rugs was pulled out from underneath the whole world, everybody's looking around. I think all of us could say, well, we are all to blame. Because that's what the gospel is about, you know. That's what Jesus went through his temptation for. To show us that evil comes to all of us. We all have temptations. But we can all take responsibility for the way we react. And Jesus, in giving us the gospel, as he encountered in the evil one in today's gospel, the Word of God is our support. The Word of God, our Father in heaven, and Jesus himself. We don't need to succumb to all these things that we're all tempted to do, just as Adam and Eve were tempted to do. They knew what was right, what was wrong. I'm sure all of us, from our earliest days, we know what is right. We know what is wrong. We know what we should be doing. So maybe that's why every year, as Catholics, as Christians, we have the season of Lent, to come to terms with ourselves, to come to terms with the way of life we have. Maybe in the past, we took responsibility for it by, well, maybe watching our diet, maybe giving up certain things so that we can bring our weight under control. If we had smoking problems, bring smoking under control. And maybe in relationships, rather than always blame someone else if things don't go right in our homes and our relationships, taking responsibility ourselves. Because whenever there's a breakdown in a marriage, breakdown in a home, breakdown between children and their parents, it always isn't the other person's fault. The children can look upon themselves and say, "Mom and Dad, we made a lot of mistakes. We blundered, and we're sorry." And parents could do that too. Husbands and wives, rather than always blaming themselves and walking out in their marriages and getting into steamy, horrible divorces, take responsibility and come to terms. That's why I think the marriage courts, the judges, would like to have couples go to counseling. Go to look at yourselves. Look at yourselves in the mirror. And many people, when they do that, they found out that maybe the blame wasn't on their partner, wasn't on their husbands or their wives. It was on themselves. And many times children, when they grow older, when they think their parents and everybody that was older than them are olders, they look upon themselves as being rather selfish and foolish. Because the older we get, we realize how selfish we were, and maybe still are, and we'd like to do something about it. So this is the time of year to do that. We've got 40 days, 40 nights to put our affairs into order, and to take responsibility for our lives. And that's what we're doing tonight.